You back in on the Gardos?
Yeah, I will say it was very nice to have that stretch. And I know the Astros had a bunch of injuries, whatever, but and then you play the White Sox. But it's nice to see they're capable of winning games, because during that 10-game losing streak, we were saying things like lost season. We had nonstop callers saying, sell the team, here we go again. And I'm just like, man, this is going to be a long second half of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a rough situation. There's still changes. I think there's still changes people want to see. You know, I look at Kyle Manzardo. I know that they could have won the game. They could have swept the doubleheader, which meant they would have swept the entire series and would have won like seven in a row or whatever it was. Had he been able to pick the ball. I know he's not great at first base. I still think he deserves a play every day. The Terry Pluto story about that Carlos Santana probably isn't going to be traded. You know, you play Nolan Jones every day. You get excited over singles with Nolan Jones. He's supposed to be a guy. And I was listening to Dairy Brothers overnight, and I mean, they were as right as rain as possibly could be. Like, you get a guy who's supposed to be a power hitter. He doesn't really hit for power. He hits for singles if he gets a hit. You're still batting him high in the order there. Like, you're still doing things that I think annoy a lot of people, but I also think it's going to look a lot better because you're going to be playing some terrible teams in the second half. The Emmanuel Clase stuff, I think that the opinions have changed. I mean, if you can make any sort of run, you're 4.5 games back of the third wild card spot. You're still way out of the division. That's just a non-starter there. You're 4.5 games out of the wild card spot to start this morning. I mean, you have an opportunity, and I think you're going to have an opportunity because you're playing some terrible baseball teams. So I think it might stop them from letting some people go, but I also want them to look forward for this franchise. You know, with David Fry, Owen and I were discussing it even earlier during the break. When's David Fry available to catch?
I don't think he's supposed to play in the field this year.
I thought it was
all,
a whole year.
At all? Because because
there was talks originally, like, we'll put him at first base, that way he didn't have to throw that often.
That may be fine.
Didn't even do that.
That may be fine. It's just, he's so bad. Naylor is so bad. And I don't know what
and
his option situation is.
He's not a defensive catcher either.
No.
It's one thing to not hit, but you're a defensive catcher.
He's not good. But exactly. He's not good defensively. That. At least Austin Hedges is good defensively. Right. So at least Austin Hedges, who is a guy that I called a $4 million mascot last week when I was really mad at the Guardians on Monday, which I take that back. Shouldn't have said that. I was angry. At least Austin Hedges is defensive. So Bo Naylor, not good defensively, and then gets a hit by accident once every 10 times. So I can't make an argument for Bo Naylor. It's like there's holes there. There's holes in other spots in the order. Like, there's still some problems there. But if you're going to be playing all these bad teams, it's going to look a hell of a lot better, because I don't see the Guardians being anywhere nearly as bad as some of these teams coming up on the schedule. I mean, you have teams that have just packed it in. Teams that you didn't think were going to be good at all this year coming into this season, and then there's been teams that are packing it in. Like, you don't really have a challenge. I'm thinking, what, until a couple of weeks out when you play the Mets? I think you got a three-game series against the Mets on the weekend. Other than that, you got a lot of teams that are just farts.
Teams left on the schedule, right? They got 3 with the Rockies, 6 with the White Sox, 3 with the Athletics when they come back, 3 with the Braves, 4 with the Orioles, 3 with the Marlins. Like, there's a lot of baseball to be won. And then they have 6 with the Tigers, but that's 6 with the Tigers. And that's a team they've actually been very good against. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that the division, don't even look at it now. They were 15.5 games back this time last week. They're 12 back now. They knocked off 3.5 games in a week. That's not going to happen every week.
Yeah, I'm just looking for the wild. I'm looking for the wild card.
You have to. That's 4.5.
Yeah.
You just have there. It's easier to catch the division if the top team slides and you have the streak. There's less teams to go through. It's just one team that you're chasing. But
yes.
It's only 4.5 games for the wild card.
I think a lot of things are still, and I think getting to the postseason is still something you should celebrate. It's a long baseball season. It's hard. I mean, again, you lost 10. It's 10 in a row at one point. Yeah. If you were able to battle back and get in the wild card in the second half, yeah, you could say the rest of the American League sucks, and I don't think you'd be wrong, but still getting in the postseason is getting in the postseason. And it cools my Jets, and it cools a lot of other people's Jets about a strong front office decision. Selling the team, I don't think that conversation is ever going away. But about the front office decisions and who to keep, who to let go of, I think it cools a couple of people off about that. But there's definitely some things that I want to see done differently here. And I'll tell, and another thing that I totally agree with what the Derry brothers had said, this whole Cade Smith business is fishy to me, and I want to ask Anthony Castrovince about that at 9:22 this morning. And the whole, well, there's teams that they could possibly trade for Cade Smith, and I'm thinking, I don't think the Guardians are interested in trading away Cade Smith at all.
They still have so much control over it.
Yeah, yeah, I think there's teams that are interested in trading for him, certainly, and I think they kind of want to speed it up on that process, but I don't think the Guardians have any interest in trading him away.
Well, it's the Class A thing, too, that they have him under the contract that they do. But again, you know, if you could turn Class A into full-time outfielder,
well,
I don't know, like,
and really, if you can turn him into a catcher that hits...
Yeah, well, there's another
and
one.
That's,
yeah,
that's a big deal there because you do have, although we've never seen him, you know, DeLotter is down there and he is an outfielder, and they did just draft some outfielders that are going to hit at some point in the next
four years. He has wrist soreness now, DeLotter does.
It's time to take a break.
Wrist soreness.
They're going to take a break this week. He'll be okay.
They were probably thrilled to give everybody that news, knowing how they are.
Probably just put that one on mute and...
Move it on. 216-474-0092. Quinshon Judkins is in hot water. Story is broken over the weekend. I was watching, of all the things, I was watching a movie with the neighbors. We saw The Contractor. Not that great. But we were watching a movie. I left my phone upstairs. I went upstairs, used the bathroom, checked my phone, saw about 15 different messages, went, oh, God in heaven. So the story about Quinshon Judkins comes out. His defense attorney has spoken. Here's what his defense attorney said during the initial hearing yesterday in Broward County.
It happened on July the 7th, according to the arrest affidavit. She didn't report it until the 12th. There was some type of a spectacle that she got involved in, and it wasn't until after that that she made this after-the-fact report. Well, the A-form suggests that there are photos and bruising. There's no proof as to when those bruises took place.
So there's a lot of folks getting in about this, and we got a lot of fat locks on the internet saying, well, these charges, I don't know what's going to stick or what's not going to stick when it comes to these charges. I'm not even talking about a court of law. If he's found guilty over time or if they go to trial with this or anything, then we could talk about court of law, I should say. But as of right now, it's something that the Browns didn't need, that he didn't need. And if we're talking about it, save from the legalities of this, it's something that if this is misdemeanor domestic violence, wasn't in, and Zach was talking to us about this, and I know I was distracted, but Zach was talking about this. The Mike Hall situation was done within 5 weeks. The NFL could still come down very strongly on this just for putting yourself in a situation. So as of right now, I'm going to operate as if Quinshon Judkins is going to be available for the foreseeable future. Plus, he's not even signed to a contract.
Boy, and that's a sticky part of it. I know Zach did mention that, you know, your other second rounder, you know, did get the guarantees. So it seemed like a pretty obvious case, but it wasn't because he's not signed yet. So you do wonder about that, and maybe he just loses some leverage in all of this. I hope, obviously, that... You know, this situation is not as bad as immediately, you know, you jump to conclusions. Everybody does. Anytime you see domestic with somebody that you're following, I mean, really, it shouldn't matter if it's an athlete or someone, you know, in society. Anytime you see domestic, you hate to see it because it means that lives are, you know, obviously the stakes are high and there's something unfortunate that transpired. And we don't know. We weren't there. Most recently, we heard the defense attorney and the case that he's making. So, and it's your standard he said, she said situation. And so we're not jumping to conclusions on that. The conclusion we do jump to is hopefully he'll be available. Like, hopefully these things didn't happen or they're not as bad as what you initially thought they might be, and that he can get on the football field in due time because missing the time in camp. Like we had Zach said it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. You don't want to start behind the eight ball.
I mean, this was supposed to be the guy that was, I don't know if there's any replacing Nick Chubb, but this was the guy that was supposed to step in and take over this role. And you're not only doing that, you're not only losing him, you also are putting Jerome Ford in a disadvantage where he's a third down back type of guy. And so you're putting him at a disadvantage here, and maybe you're putting Dylan Sampson in an unfair situation as well. When it comes to the law, I don't think there's any good outcome of this. if he actually did do something, which we don't know, then my God, he's done something repugnant. If he didn't do anything, which again, we do not know, well, then again, we have to have conversations about victim blaming and believing people and things like that, which all of it's bad. All of it's ugly. So I don't want to have that conversation at all. We might have to at some point, but as of right now, I look at it from an NFL standpoint. They basically threw the book at Mike Hall, and Mike Hall's season was basically lost. I mean, then he got hurt at the end of it, but his season was basically lost. And now you come in with questions into this year of, I mean, you mentioned it yourself. This is a pivotal year for Mike, because if Mike goes out there and he plays well, okay, you might be willing to hold on to this guy. And he's got to obviously do everything off the field that's right as well. We haven't heard anything off the field, so hopefully things are getting better with him. But if you have a season where he is in the margin somewhere as a defensive tackle, if you make changes after this year, you know, that's one of those things that people talk about. Like, hey, you know, the old regime took this guy because they make big sweeping changes. Maybe we don't need this guy within our locker room there. So that's an unfortunate thing. It becomes a very big conversation in a pressure-packed year for that guy. And with Quinshon Judkins, I would think the same way, because you were supposed to be a part of this offense. It's a 12 personnel, probably run-heavy offense, being able to take the pressure off whoever quarterback you got. And if he's not there, if he's not available because of all this silliness, then, again, that goes against your general manager, whether it's fair or not. This isn't fair to Andrew Berry, but it's the truth of the matter. It's another thing that people will throw against him when they are making their arguments to let him go. When fans are upset, and I think that a lot of fans feel, I mean, good God, how much more evidence do you need? Fair. But I think when fans are calling in after a Browns loss this year, and they are adding up all the things of why they want to let guys go, this, even though it's, there was nothing there that said anything about Quinshon Judkins being a problem off the field before this. Nothing there. Doesn't matter if it's fair. It matters that it's going to happen. So I could say, like, hey, I don't want to hold this against Andrew Berry. You have to hold it against Andrew Berry. It's his draft pick. Because no matter what, I think a lot of people were sitting there thinking, well, you had Trayvon Henderson right there you could have taken. You had Trayvon Henderson right there that you could have taken. You didn't take Henderson.
I can't lie. I thought he was the better player coming out of college.
And a lot of other people did.
It wasn't like
Zach even mentioned a lot of people did.
Yeah, it wasn't like I had him way ahead or anything like that. But he was the guy I liked more. They took the other one. I still had high hopes, and I still do. I just can't get to the point where I'm putting this in the same classification as Mike Hall, because Mike Hall, there were some warning signs. I remember Albert Breer mentioned it before the draft that some teams had him as undraftable. Nobody had that in this situation.
Can you count this against Andrew Berry? 216-474-0092. I think in case-by-case basis, you wouldn't, but I think in this situation, when everybody puts it together, I think they will. I think it becomes another argument just that's used against him. And it messes up the offense. It's another question that the organization has to answer. It's another thing that Andrew Berry has to answer to. And this one, you just said it. There were questions about Mike Hall coming out. There were. I don't think there were any questions about Quinshon Judkins coming out. I didn't think that at all we would have anything like this. I was really shocked on Saturday night when this came out. Really shocked. But this is 2 years in a row of a second-round pick being in trouble. And you don't have still a lot of picks. So you have to make every single pick count as best you possibly can, especially day two picks. And if you can't get that guy to work out for you because either he's got himself in trouble or he's just not a good enough football player, whether it's fair or not, you're going to have to answer for it. And he's going to have to answer to it.